chapter 16 tonight. Romans chapter number 16.
I'm thankful and for the privilege I had to be brought up in a pastor's home. Amen. I know there were some that may not have always counted a blessing, but I thought it was a privilege. Amen. I felt bad for those who didn't have that privilege. Amen. Anyways, Romans chapter 16, and just going to read here a few verses. Paul is closing one of the longer epistles that he wrote, and if you go through here and count, I believe there's 35 different people that Paul mentions by name in this chapter or refers to. And it shows you that the ministry is about people. Amen. I don't believe these are the only people that ever Paul met or knew. But in the close of this book, he takes an entire chapter to mention these people and tell us some things about them. And I just want to start reading and just to pick out a few of them here. The Bible says we'll start reading in verse number 3. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." And I'd sure like to be somebody's helper. Amen. Verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I'm thankful to be saved. And Lord, it's good to be in church. And Lord, I pray that you've been honored here tonight. And Lord, I pray now you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, you know what you've laid on my heart. But Lord, I'm nothing without you. So I pray for your touch and anointing. I pray bless your people, Lord. Lord, we're excited about camp this week. Help us prepare our hearts for a great week. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't read the whole chapter, but you think about this, not preaching on it, but here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. Some say the greatest Christian who ever lived. I'm not going to deny or confirm that. I believe he was used greatly of God, started many churches, took several missionary journeys, wrote half of the New Testament, trained up men that became preachers and had an influence in so many lives. Here's the Apostle Paul writing a book to the Romans, and here he's saluting people. You know, now here in America, we salute our flag, amen. You don't just salute just anybody, amen. But here's Paul, and he's getting down the end, and there's some people that mean a lot to Paul. And what Paul, I don't believe he's trying to put these people up on a pedestal, but he's just trying to let them know that he appreciates them. They've been a blessing to him, and he recognizes, and he hasn't forgotten them. He says, hey, just salute them. Let them know that they're important to me. Let them know that they matter to me. And listen, if the Apostle Paul had people in his life that mattered to him, that were important to him, that were a blessing to him, that helped him, that he said, hey, salute him. Let him know I salute him. I'm thankful for him. There ought to be some people in our lives that we're thankful for, that have helped us, have been a blessing to us, that we don't just forget about, but maybe, I'm not saying literally, but maybe in our heart and mind, we just salute them once in a while and let them know you're a blessing to me and you've done something for me and I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, and I could not be where I'm at if it wasn't for the help that you've given. And then I like there in verse number 12, he says, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. I want to look at that last phrase or sentence in verse 12. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, I looked it up, and everybody says that that's the name of a lady. So I'm going to tell you that's the name of a lady. Amen. They say it was probably somebody who came out of Persia. Therefore, that's why her name is such. I don't know it. The Bible doesn't say that's what the other people were saying. I don't know if that's true or not. But Paul thought enough of this lady, this woman who's mentioned one time, just given one name and one little thought about her. He said to salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. You know, he doesn't say here in Romans 16, salute Demas, does he? And there's many does, but here's this one woman. I want to look a little bit at this woman and how the Bible says she labored much in the Lord. I think that's a pretty good testimony this woman had. There could be a lot of worse things said about her, and it would be hard for Paul to have said something better about this woman in one simple sentence, but that she labored much in the Lord. You know what labor is? It's work. Amen. It's work done. It requires you to exert either mental or physical power or ability. Here's a lady. Here's a woman that in Paul's life, in Paul's ministry, she labored. She didn't just labor, but she labored much. If you go up to verse 6, he says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Not just that they labored, but it was much labor. So much so that the Apostle Paul took note. You know, it's good to labor. Amen. In the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, we're commanded to labor 6 days and rest on the seventh. America's a land that now everybody wants a shorter week and a longer weekend to play. Amen. And that's not worked so well for America. Amen. America did well when America was working 6 days a week from all day long, and when they got tired, they went to bed at night because they had worked, and they went to church on Sundays, and it was built around family, and God was in the center, and America was never better off than then. But we're commanded to labor. But I'm telling you, if you're going to labor for God, number one, as a way of introduction, your priorities must be right. There's many today that labor. There's many today that labor much. There's many today that sacrifice their life and their energy and their time and their strength and their talents and their abilities, but they do it for the wrong people and the wrong reasons. If you're going to labor for God, your priorities must be right. In other words, God must come first. He must be the center of your life. Not only that, but number two, that you must realize the value of laboring for God. And then number three, you must realize who you should be laboring for, and that's God. Let's look at this lady here for a little bit tonight. Paul says, salute the beloved Persis. You know what he said she was? She was beloved. You know, not everybody's beloved. In other words, she was easy to love. Not everybody's easy to love. I don't think she was very cantankerous. I don't believe she was ornery or unlikable or stubborn or manipulative or bossy. She was beloved. Why? She was easy to love. Paul said the beloved Persis. If somebody was to talk about you, would they say the beloved before your name and mean it? Are we easy to love? Not only that, then he says that she labored much. She didn't just do the minimum. She didn't just do enough to get by. You know the truth that I see there, and people don't always like this, but it's true, is that some people do more than others. Let me say it again. Some people do more than others. Not everybody does the same amount of work or laboring or service for the Lord, even in the workforce. All of you that are in the workforce, you know what you found? Some people do more than others. Now, some, they have perfected the ability to look like they're doing much and while doing very little. That's not a talent you should be looking to perfect. Young men, do not go for that. Listen, we should not be okay with others doing more than us. We should not be okay with being outworked by everybody. We should not be okay with just doing enough so we don't get rebuked for not doing something. I'm thankful for those that do, that labor. I want to be one of those that do more, not one of those that do less. And it's not, listen, as we preach about this, everything we're talking about laboring, we're talking about laboring for the Lord. This lady was commended, I don't believe because she was a career woman and made a lot of money. She's commended because she had served God. She had labored for people, served people, and by ministering and serving people with the right heart, we're ministering and laboring for God. And that's what I'm talking about. But in the work of God, there's some that do more than others do. And listen, that is not based on talents or abilities. It's based on the heart and the desire that some have to labor. I see here the measure of her service. The Bible says she labored much in the Lord. If Paul had said she labored in the Lord, you know what we'd have to say? We'd have to say, amen. That's a blessing. She did well. But he didn't say she just labored. He said she labored much. The measure of her service. She labored. Listen, if you take that word there, labored, if you go in Luke chapter number 5, it talks about how they toiled all the night. You remember that story? That word toiled, that has the same idea of that word labor. It means to toil. When in John chapter 4, when the Lord was wearied, the Bible says, remember he sat down the well, he's wearied with his journey. It has the same idea, laboring, it's toiling. Labor is something that will leave you weary when you're finished with it. When you labor at the end of the day or at the end of that time, you know what you'll be? You'll be weary. You know why so many people get into trouble through all wee hours of the night and they sit there playing video games and doing whatever? It's because they haven't done anything. They're not tired because they haven't labored. But when you labor, at the end of that day, you're weary. You go back and study the Lord. Why was he weary? Well, he's been ministering and he's been walking and traveling and serving and he just got tired from serving. And listen, I'm telling you, when you toil and work and labor, you'll be weary. Listen, if you never get weary, you're never tired, it's because you're not laboring. Has that idea of toiling, of work, of effort. Sometimes it's work in the mind. Sometimes it's physical labor. But she labored much in the Lord. You know what she did? I believe she did what she could. She probably never preached a sermon. She probably never started a church. She probably never led the singing. She obviously never wrote a book in the Bible. She never probably took a missionary journey. Well, how could she have done anything for God? Because she did what she could. She did not do what Paul did. But yet Paul mentions this lady, and in the context, what we see is that this lady was a blessing to the ministry of Paul. Why? Because she did what she could. Oh, what a wonderful day it would be in our lives when we realize that all we can do is what we can. And not try to do what we're not called to do or not equipped to do, but just learn to do what we can do. Many people, they look at somebody else's position or somebody else's opportunity and they covet it and they want to do what they've not been asked or called to do. But listen, if you will do what you can do and what God gives you the opportunity to do, you please God. It's like that woman with the alabaster box. She hath done what she could. That's what this lady did here. She did what she could. You ever think here, what does it mean she labored much? What did it mean if she labored much? What'd she do? What kind of work did she do? I don't have exact, but I have a pretty good idea. You know what she did? She ministered. She probably had hospitality. She probably cooked and baked for people and probably cleaned and probably visited those who need visited. And when cleaning needed done, she cleaned. And it was whatever she, as a lady in that day, could do, she did. If someone needed some water, she might have went down to the well and drawing the water out of the well. When someone needed to be there to be a blessing to somebody and help them when they were sick, she was there. Maybe when Paul came by, wherever she was and was weary, maybe she made him a meal or whatever it was that she was able to do as a lady in that day to labor much. You say, that's not much she got herself in Romans chapter 16. I'd say it's pretty good. It's a pretty good testimony. She did what she could. She did not do half of what she could. Amen. Too many want to do half a job and get credit for the whole job. People today, and you hear it all the time, but it's true. We live in a day and age, people want to get paid more than they've ever got paid to do less than they've ever done. They've got it turned around. I'm telling you, this people think their worth. Their worth is, we are suffering inflation. It's people's thought of what their worth is inflated. Amen. I'm worth this. No, you're not really worth that. Everybody thinks they're worth this and that and more money and more pay, and they want to do less work than ever before. She did not do half of what she could. She didn't just do what she conveniently could do. Many of us will labor as long as it fits into everything of our schedule and plans, and we're not too inconvenienced. Of course, it's funny what we will be inconvenienced for. It's easy what we can make happen when we want to make something happen. Let me say that again. It's funny what we can make happen when we want to make something happen. But then when it's just something's asked, maybe in the ministry or in the work of God or in the church, boy, it's awful hard for us to make something happen. Boy, that's not very convenient. I'd have to do this and make this change and give this up. Not this lady. She did not labor much by not only doing what was convenient. She did all that she could, not just what was convenient. Listen, there's going to be times you're going to be inconvenienced for the work of God. She did not just labor until she got tired. She labored while she was tired. If you stop every time you get tired, you're not going to do much for God. Because when you wake up tired, I mean, what are you going to do that day then? Just not do anything? It's funny though, many, they're tired and wear themselves out in pursuit of earthly fame, earthly goods, earthly pleasures, the applause of men, but they're not willing to get tired for the cause of Christ. Oh, I'm too tired. Listen, I know you're going to get tired. If you're working, you're going to get tired. You need to press on, amen? Hey, that'd make a good camp theme sometime, you know that? Whether you're tired or not, you need to press on. So what you do, did what she could, the measure of her service. Now that, let me look at the source of her service. It says there at the end of verse 12, in the Lord. In the Lord. You know why many so-called Christians, I don't know what, saved people, whatever, the term burnout or whatever you want to say, blow out. You know why? Many of them, because their source is not in the Lord. She wasn't laboring for self. Listen, she wasn't laboring for Paul. She wasn't laboring for a friend or family or the church. She's laboring in the Lord. It's for the Lord. Her source was the Lord. Because she was in Him and she had a union and a fellowship with Him, that's where her power and desire to labor came from. You're not going to get that out in the world. You're not going to get that out of the self life. You're going to get that from being in fellowship and in union with the Lord. When you're in union with the Lord, you're going the direction that the Lord wants you to go. You're yoked up with the Lord, not the world, not with ourselves, but with the Lord. And the Lord will give us the power and the desire and the zeal that we need to labor for Him. She did not do that in the flesh. It says she did it in the Lord. Listen, if you're laboring and all the while you're laboring, you're complaining and you're fussing and you're just doing enough just so you can get by and not get rebuked and wonder why so-and-so isn't and why so-and-so did it that way and why you weren't asked to do that, but you're doing this. You are not laboring in the Lord. You're laboring in the flesh. And I'm sorry to tell you, but that'll be in vain. We need to labor in the Lord. The source needs to be the Lord. The source. You know what that is? It gives a safeguard of service. When it's in the Lord, there's a safeguard. See, that keeps our service from getting mundane. Hey, I don't care what it is. You can do the most exciting thing in life for the first time, and I mean it just wow you and excite you, and you just think, man, I could never get enough of that. I promise if you did it every day for the rest of your life, at some point it'd be mundane. Right? Those of us that drive first time, or some of us first time we drove, man, I mean, it was so exciting. We've been waiting years, and I mean, we just thought, man, I could just spend the rest of my life driving. Yep. And now you got to get and drive, and now you're like, oh, man, what happened? Yeah. Unless you're Bert Kiefer, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's because we don't have the right truck. I don't know what it is. But you know what? It'll be mundane. It'll be mundane. But listen, when you labor in the Lord, He'll keep you from your service getting mundane. It helped keep your motives right when it's in the Lord. I already touched on a little bit, but our motives, our priorities ought to be right. Our motives is not, should not be to be accepted of man. Our motives should not be to look good to others. Our motives ought to be to please God. Not only that, but when it's in the Lord and He's the source of our labor, it'll keep us from quitting. Why? Because He didn't quit. The Lord didn't quit. Well, if I'm in the Lord and I'm in fellowship with Him and I'm in union with Him and I'm in the yoke with Him and He didn't quit, how am I going to quit? But you get out of that yoke and you get out of fellowship with Him and you get on your own and you're just one step, one breath away from quitting. Because the flesh will give you 1,000 excuses why it'd be okay to quit. But it'll keep you from quitting. It'll keep you from your service, your labor, from getting mechanical. You ever do something so much that you can almost do it without thinking or realizing you're doing it? Some of us aren't that talented, but some people can, right? Some of us got to think very hard just to chew gum, amen, and not have it fall out of our mouth. You ever do something, you can just do it and you don't even think about it? Amen. Just mechanical. It's dry. There's no life. Right? Just no zeal, no fervor there. Just mechanical. Just, you know how, you know, all of you that work, there's some days I'm sure it's just mechanical. You just, your heart's not in it. You're there, but your mind's somewhere else. Mechanical. Listen, when it's in the Lord, keep it from getting mechanical. And also, as I mentioned, keep it from being done for the wrong reasons or the wrong motives. Listen, if we're not careful, if we don't continually commune with the Lord, then we'll continue in the flesh. And when we're in the flesh, we'll do our work out of habit, out of duty. We'll just do it as a habit that we have to do. Maybe we'll do it because others expect it from us. Maybe because someone else is doing it. So we say, well, if they're going to do it, I guess I got to do it. We might do it to be seen of others or for any other reason outside of pleasing Christ or for Christ. Realizing we were created for His pleasure. So the safeguard of our service is that it's in the Lord. That we keep that close fellowship that you hear preached about so much. Why? Because it's so important that we have a close relationship and fellowship with the Lord. That you don't get your heart wrong and your spirit wrong and your mind wrong while you're laboring. And get your eyes off of the Lord and get messed up in the reason that you're doing it. It's easy to do. Listen, even this week as we go to camp, what an opportunity. What a great opportunity. God has given some of us to labor for Him. Even in the weeks and months coming up, the opportunity to labor for Christ. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll just go ahead and punch your ticket. You'll put your little time in. And you know that you've got a track record. You've done it in the past, and you're good at it. You're used to it. You'll go ahead and do it, and you'll be in the flesh, but you'll just do it mechanical. There'll be no God, be no power, be no Holy Spirit moving. He'll just be dead religion if you're not careful. If you're not careful. We need to labor for the Lord. It's never because we're worthy. It's in spite of who and what we are. You say it's just for some kids. Listen, you're not worthy to labor for kids. None of us are. Kids, adults. Listen, there's more hope for kids than adults. Adults, they got a short lifespan left. Most of them, they ain't going to change. They're what they are. Kids, man, God gets a hold of a kid's heart at a young age. He's got his entire life ahead of him. That's not to demean adults. Adults can change. You know what I'm saying? I'm just preaching generally a little bit there. That's a great opportunity. Great opportunity. I want you to see also the immortality of her service. You say, what do you mean? Well, that was written about 2,000 years ago. You know what we're still doing today? We're still talking, preaching, and reading about her service. You think when she cooked that meal for whoever it was, or she went and visited that sick person, helped them clean their house, or she was faithful to church, or she did the cleaning that she had to do, or whatever the labor was, you think when she did that, she was thinking in her mind, well, maybe one day Paul will write this in a letter, and it'll become the Bible, and people will talk about me for 2,000 years? Nowhere near her mind. Yet her service is still speaking here 2,000 years later. Little did she know that what she was doing, that I'm sure at the time might have seemed like just a small, mundane, simple little task, that she's just a lady, just a woman there. I mean, if she's from Persia, she's just even a Gentile woman. She wasn't even a Jew. And just whatever they'd allow her to do, it could not have seemed like much. And man, maybe the first time she got to do something for Paul or in a ministry he's involved in, maybe it just amazed her that she was even allowed to do something. And she just did what she could, never dreaming what would happen. Written down, and for all of eternity, there it is recorded. Romans chapter 16. Verse number 12. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that the Lord is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. Serious things all of us, we did, and we forgot about. Hopefully, if you're a good Christian, you've been serving God, you've done things you can't even remember. The Bible says the Lord hadn't forgot. The immortality of true Christian service, God doesn't forget. But on the flip side, nothing we do for self or in the flesh will ever matter in heaven. Yet we spend so much time sometimes on those things. Only what we've done for the Lord will matter for all time and all eternity. Here she was just laboring, just doing what she could. And God said, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down for an everlasting reminder of this one lady who labored much for me. She did it for me. She did it in my name. It wasn't for herself. It wasn't to make her name great. It was done for me. And God has blessed her for it. Even to this day, it's still a memorial. And as we look at this woman here, the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. The Bible has a lot more to say about laboring. And I want to just give you a few simple thoughts here in closing, which doesn't mean I'm closing right now, but a few simple thoughts about laboring, some warnings and some encouragements about it. The one thing I want to say is Paul, when Paul was writing in 1 Thessalonians 3 and Philippians 2, he mentions this. He was worried about something, and he was worried that he would labor in vain. Now, what we don't know here with this beloved Persis is she might have bestowed some of that labor on Christians that didn't make it. We don't know. She might have done something for somebody that was going to church, and eventually they might have even got away from God and went to the world and done something against God. And there's times that we might bestow labor on someone. And we've all done it. If you've been saved a very long time, you can think of somebody that you've tried to be a blessing to or minister to or serve in the work of God. And that labor was bestowed in vain. In other words, it didn't affect that person like it should have. But what we need to be careful about is that we don't stop ministering to people. Amen. Sometimes we can look at people and say, well, I'm tired of getting burned. I'm tired of my labor being in vain. It's not in vain to the Lord. Amen. Paul is just saying, I've bestowed much labor on you. I'm afraid it's in vain. In other words, that you're going to go off to the world and not that what I've tried to minister is not going to be a help to you. It's not in vain to the Lord, and we still need to do it, but many times we'll look at somebody and we'll say, man, I've tried, and people have not taken it, and I'm not going to try on that one. I don't think they're going to make it anyways. That's a danger we cannot allow into our life. Amen. Paul bestowed labor on Demas, did he not? Demas didn't make it for the Lord. Many times we've done it the same. Hey, Abraham, how about Abraham with Lot? Boy, did Abraham bestow a lot of labor in Lot? I mean, he even took his armed servants and rescued Lot from five kings that had captured him. He risked the life of his own life and the life of his servants. He labored for Lot. He prayed for Lot. He wanted Lot to make it more than Lot wanted to make it. But Lot made his own choice. And Lot wanted Sodom. He wanted the pleasures of Sodom more than God. All that Abraham did did not change Lot. Hey, how about the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he bestow labor on Judas Iscariot? Over 3 years, the Lord ministered and served Judas and had him betray him and have him arrested for 30 pieces of silver. So there's going to be folks you try to labor in, but that can't be. We cannot allow that to prevent us from laboring. You don't know. And see, that's why it's so important for laboring for the Lord. And we're going to labor in somebody's life, no matter what kind of prospect they look like. Hey, we all didn't always look like the best prospect. Right? As you look this week, those of you that are going to be at camp and helping out, you're going to look and say, well, that's just a little brat. That might have been me one day. I know it's hard to believe. Maybe that was me one day. Maybe I didn't look like a great prospect. Maybe that was you one day. You probably didn't look like the best of prospect. But you know what? Somebody did for you. Somebody labored. Somebody went ahead and stuck their neck out and just took a chance and ministered and labored in your life. And then another person labored in your life and the grace of God was sufficient and you availed to it. And look what God's done for you. Who would we be to hold back a chance we have to labor in somebody's life? Thank God everybody didn't hold back on us. He was afraid about laboring in vain. In Nehemiah chapter 4, they talk about how they labored in the work. Romans 16 here, they labored much. Colossians 4, Paul talks about laboring in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says how he labored day and night. Listen, there's a work to be done for God. Too many people work. It's a dirty four-letter word. They want the profits in the of work, but they won't put the work in. Many people want to come to church and enjoy a good church and good preaching and good singing and good specials and a presence of God and good fellowship. They don't want to put the work in. Listen, this is God. Everything, the building, the congregation, the music, the preaching, the ministries, this is all God. But God used people that were willing to labor much. God uses people, and you know what he wants you and I to do is get in the work. Get involved in the work. Labor much for God. Amen. Don't rely on somebody else to do it. You know in Nehemiah, you know the story. They're trying to build the wall. They're trying to do the work of God. They're trying to protect their wives and their children and the young people. And the enemy is fighting them hard. They did not want to stop the work, but they had to fight. So they put a sword in one hand and a trowel in another hand. And they fought, and they built, and they built, and they fought. They did it day and night. They did not take their clothes off. They worked all the time. Why? They wanted the wall to be built. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build, yet we're trying to fight the enemy. We got to have a sword in one hand and fight the enemy. Remember, the sword goes for the enemy. It's not for the brethren trying to build the wall. Baptists, get confused. We're trying to build the wall for God. And we're trying to fight the enemy. Too many saved people, they fight the brothers and sisters and they build Pharaoh cities. They've got it all mixed up. Amen. We're trying to build the wall. We're trying to build the work of God. And we're trying to fight the enemy all at the same time. That's laboring. That takes a lot of work. That's not going to be a part-time job. That's not a two-hour-a-week job. Listen, if you don't fight the enemy in your life and in your home, day after day and week after week, and month after month, and year after year, you've heard it preached, he'll get into your life, and then he'll get into your home, and then he'll get into the church. And it'll be because you weren't laboring, you weren't fighting while you were trying to build. But you can get so busy fighting that you forget you're supposed to be building. You've got lives to build. You've got a marriage to build. You've got children you need to build up with character and integrity. You've got the work of God to build. You've got to fight. You've got to build. It's laboring in the work. When you go to bed at night, you ought to be tired. Not just physically tired, you ought to be spiritually tired because you've been fighting and you've been building. Every chance we have, we need to try to take advantage and build and build. Just mentioned it the other week, just another block, another brick in the life of somebody. You never know. You never know. We have these children for such a short time. They grow up quick. Fast. Ask the ones who have grown children now. They're now young adults. How quick it goes. Every moment, every time, every chance we get. John 6 talks about how we should labor for Christ, not for the meat that perisheth. Yes, should we work? Yes. Work is a necessary evil. Amen. But you work for Christ. That's an everlasting work that we're doing. So we see this lady here, Persis, how she labored much in the Lord. Listen, and not for my glory, but when people think about me, wouldn't it be good if they thought
the beloved so-and-so. Instead of that pain in the backside, that annoying, ornery, wouldn't that be a blessing? Be beloved to somebody. Not beloved because you paid them off, but beloved because you've invested in them, because they know that you love them, because you've sacrificed for them, because you've ministered to them, and you're beloved. And to labor much, not just do the minimum, not just do enough so that nobody yells at us, not just do enough so that it looks like we've done something. You know, while everybody's working, we go and rub our hands in dirt and rub it over our face and our clothes so we come out at the end of the day and look like we've worked hard while we haven't. Labor much. Are we laboring much? Are we giving it our all? Are we doing all that we can? Are we just doing enough so we can say we did it, but we know we could have done a lot better? And are we doing it in the Lord? Well, if you're disgruntled with other people while you're doing it, you're not doing it in the Lord. I'm telling you, what we do for God, He'll remember. And I'm thankful for those that labored in my life. I could give you name after name. Obviously, it starts with my parents. Put up with me for 25 years. Well, actually, they're still putting up with me. There's probably times they'd wish I moved far, far away. But then there's other people in my life that labor. You got to remember, I mean, it was a long time, but I was Geno-sized one time. Maybe when I was like 3 years old. I probably didn't look very promising. I was a teenager once, just to fill in the adjectives, boys, just a goofy teenager, thinking they're smart and not even knowing if their socks inside out or not. Somebody labored. Somebody put up with that. I'm thankful for that. I'm wondering who's going to stay in church because of you laboring for them. Who are you going to be a blessing to? They're going to say, man, I'm going to stay in church. If they can do it, I can do it. She labored much. A woman. Persis. We've never named any of our daughters Persis. Great testimony. One simple verse that we're still talking about. Amen. Let's pray.